This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It was on October 7th, 1992, under an old Spanish oak tree in downtown San Antonio, that Mexican President Carlos Salinas de Gortari, Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, and U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush signed a document. That was the NAFTA agreement, North American Free Trade Agreement. San Antonio was the birthplace of that agreement. The North American Free Trade Agreement is no less controversial today. In fact, it might even be more controversial today, given what has been said in the current race for the presidency. Now, here's Senator Bernie Sanders and GOP presumptive nominee Donald Trump talking about NAFTA.
I will fundamentally rewrite NAFTA, CAFTA, PNTR with China, and the Korean Free Trade Agreement. We have got to lift up the standard of living of workers in this country and throughout the world. Trade is a good thing, but it has got to be based on fair principles, not unfettered free trade. Hillary Clinton and I have very strong differences of opinion, going way, way back. Not only did I oppose NAFTA, I stood on picket lines with workers in opposition to this disastrous trade agreement. Secretary Clinton supported NAFTA. Instead of creating jobs, NAFTA cost us jobs, 850,000 jobs, including over 26,000 jobs here in Pennsylvania.
I think NAFTA has been a total disaster. Ford's building a plant in Mexico, okay? What good does that do? What good does it do? They're hiring thousands of people, all Mexican, which is fine for Mexico.
Isn't that what free trade's about?
No, because we don't get anything. We never get anything. What do we get out of it? We don't get anything. Does Mexico come here and build a plant in the United States?
No, but they buy more goods.
No, they don't really. They buy goods made in Mexico. They buy goods made in Mexico.
If you check it. We export a lot more to Mexico than we did before NAFTA.
No, but you take a look at the other way around. Let's put it this way. If this were a profit and loss statement, and you looked at China versus the United States, Japan versus the United States, Mexico, we lose a fortune with every deal we have.
And that was presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Earlier, we heard from Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders talking about NAFTA. They don't like it. What's happened to NAFTA? Why is it taking such a beating these days? Joining us to talk about that is Walt Wilson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UTSA, and Robert McKinley. He is the Senior Vice President for Economic Development at UTSA, also a board member at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. Do you think the NAFTA agreement was a mistake? Why do you think NAFTA is getting such a beating these days? What does it mean for the future of U.S.-Mexico trade? And we're going to also discuss what Mexico has got to say about this. So, Robert, kind of give us a summary. What did NAFTA do?
Well, when you mentioned when it was signed under that tree 20 years ago, I happened to be standing there in the crowd. So it was interesting to see the shift since then. Really, globalization and free trade is an ongoing march, and it's going forward. There's been a lot of interaction among the different countries. So there's these periodic recalibrations of the terms of doing business together. Ultimately, as Bernie Sanders said, trade is a good thing. And basically, you are shifting roles in production to where it can be most efficiently done and still reach consumers. If the U.S. did not engage in trade, we would be limited to 5% of the population of the world as our customers. 95% of the customers of the world are the outside. So when we promote free trade, we're benefiting ourselves to reach that other 95%. So to throw up walls would be a two-way implication that we would not be able to sell outward as much as buy inward as well. So free trade, of course, is a good thing. NAFTA has benefited by bringing those efficiencies to the market. There's been a march of co-production integration here in San Antonio. You see the Toyota plant. You see the railroads bringing chassis that are made in Monterrey brought up here, and so we get pieces, but then we do the labor-intensive assembly here in at the Toyota plant. So that's the degree of integration that allows those efficiencies to come in. That shows up in the consumer's pocketbook as having savings, access to better products, don't cost us as much. And so we have savings and we have access to things that otherwise would be prohibitive. So in general, that's the landscape in terms of trade. Mexico has grown and stabilized its economy, which is good for us. How does that show up in migration? There's almost net zero migration from Mexico right now because the economy is doing relatively well and most people can find jobs, not everybody. The migration that we're seeing now is primarily pass-through from Central America, which is a basket case in terms of insecurity, lack of economic opportunity. So the vast predominance of the migrants that are coming across now are folks that are coming from Central America, not Mexico. Another aspect that we hear a lot is the products that we bring in from Mexico because of this co-production. About 40% of the value was actually made here, shipped across, then brought back. So if we buy something from China, we're kind of paying 100% of something from elsewhere. Here we're paying 60%. Those are a few observations.
Walt Wilson, over a political science professor at UTSA, why all the negative feeling from the electorate about NAFTA?
Well, I think, you know, most of it has to do with the changing economy that we face because of kind of the globalization movement, which is kind of an inevitable thing.
But so we've seen the hollowing out of the middle class.
Well, if you think about it, in the old days, an individual could graduate from high school, go to Detroit, and on one income be catapulted into the middle class with a manufacturing job, and that is no longer an option. And so, you know, the need to create a new workforce with new educational opportunities and so on is there, but if you don't have access to those things, it becomes a very frustrating situation where either your work doesn't pay as much as it did or you can't find work if you don't have those specialized skills. And so this opposition to NAFTA, I think, is kind of in some ways a knee-jerk reaction to these globalization labor movement issues that Bob just mentioned.
So, but when Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, they stand up there and say the reason why you can't afford a new boat or you're in trouble or you can't get a job is because of NAFTA. What are they really saying?
Well, I think that's oversimplifying the issue substantially. And, you know, I will say that there is a little bit of a difference in terms of how these candidates address it in that Bernie acknowledges the importance of trade, but he also puts forth a bit more of a plan, a fairly maybe radical plan, free college education for everybody. I mean, this is the idea that would promote a more educated workforce and allow people to move beyond those manufacturing jobs to really get opportunities that would provide middle-class opportunities.
All right, we're talking about the North American Free Trade Agreement, born in San Antonio. We talked when we were covering it when it was happening, how it would transform San Antonio, put us at the gateway of a North American Free Trade Agreement. Did that happen? And why is NAFTA a bad word? And when it comes to politics, we see it coming from the right and from the left. If you got a question or a comment, what do you think about NAFTA? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In this current political season, Mexico was a frequent target, especially in context of the North American Free Trade Agreement. From the right, with the GOP apparent nominee Donald Trump calling NAFTA a disaster, and from the left, with Senator Bernie Sanders calling NAFTA an American job killer. Now Mexico is responding, looking to get involved in this political back and forth. Maybe they want to do some PR about NAFTA, but what do you think? Give us a call. Do you think NAFTA is a mistake? Did it work for the United States? Is it a disaster like some of these political candidates are saying? 210-614-8980 for you to join our conversation. So Robert McKinley over at the vice president at the economic development at UTSA. How is this conversation being heard in Mexico? How are they hearing this?
Well, Mexico is quite surprised, and I think for the beginning of the campaign and the rhetoric, a lot of them were biting their tongue and just you know, respecting our sovereignty, not wanting to get involved. But it's gotten to the point where they need to react. And you saw Vicente Fox, the ex-president.
Using some colorful language.
Colorful language, getting very emotional. So he broke the ice on that. And I think a lot of the government of Mexico and other institutions, civil society, are trying to figure out how to react to this. And you're starting to see a little bit of that, but I think they're being very cautious.
But to hear Mr. Trump say things like, Mexico, they're so crafty. They're beating us in every way. They got us. They're getting the best deals from us. We don't know how to negotiate. And the people in Mexico are going, what are you talking about? NAFTA was very hard on Mexico, and they had to make a lot of adjustments. Now I think they've kind of worked through it after 20-some-odd years, but it was not a cakewalk for them.
By no stretch of the imagination. And, you know, they've worked really hard to broaden the dimensions of the relationship. Under the Merit Accord, the binational agenda was drugs and thugs, and that was it. And they wanted to add education, economic development, infrastructure, which are their dimensions that link us. And they've worked very hard to do that. But now they've been cornered back into this, you know, impugning of overall Mexican society and what that they are the root cause of the distresses here in the United States. And they're not big enough or influential enough to cause all the problems we have. There's the march of technology. There's the structural changing of our economy. As Walt mentioned, the need to educate. We talked about trade adjustment assistance. The trade deals were put through, but the adjustment assistance, and Sanders has brought this up, to retrain the workforce for the new and better jobs. Face it, the job structure in the United States is not the way it was in the 50s or the turn of the century. It's constantly changing. We have to reinvent ourselves and update our skills and restructure our economy all the time. I think it's the elements that feel left out of that or have been left out of that for the failure of our policies and the failure of ourselves to react to inevitable change. I think that's a big part of the pain that's going on. But Mexico, I think, is starting to mobilize and get a message. I was down in Eagle Pass recently. There's 1,800 rail cars that go back and forth every day. That's worth 3 tractor trailers, every one. That's over 5,000 tractor trailers of good exchanging. Over $1.5 billion a day of trade going back and forth.
And Mexico is a net importer of U.S. products. By far.
Exactly. And that's about an estimate of 6 million jobs in the U.S. depend on what we sell.
And particularly in Texas.
Texas is very strong. It's our second largest trading partner. We have a great future together. Just think about, we talk about the oil boom and bust, but it was really the shale innovation here. Mexico's sitting on reserves that needs Texas technology and folks that like that type of energy and even green energy. We're a leader in wind energy and solar energy. Mexico's going that direction. These are technologies and innovations that happened here that are much different than energy economy from 5 decades ago. We evolved, and there's market opportunities. We can sell a lot of that to Mexico.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join our conversation. And Claiborne has called in. Claiborne, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, as far as NAFTA, one, it's a done deal. Two, as far as business and everything else, it's adapt or die. Beyond that, not everyone is qualified for or ready to or can take advantage and leverage a, quote, college education. And beyond that, given the trade, craft, and vocational skill sets down here, it's incumbent upon entrepreneurs and business leaders to leverage that and figure out where to take that and make money for all of us here as opposed to chasing something that's moved on.
All right, Claiborne, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And so he said NAFTA is a done deal. Get over it. So Walt Wilson, political science professor at UTSA, is NAFTA a done deal? Can a president like Trump, if he gets elected, just do away with it first day on the job?
Well, I don't think for practical purposes you can roll back the clock on this thing. I mean, the global integration of the economy is such that, you know, extricating yourself from that kind of situation, even if you wanted to, would be, I think, impossible. But, you know, he did mention that also that not every worker in this country is going to get a college education, or there are some, you know, realities to face in that situation, and how do these individuals support themselves and get ahead? And so, you know, that again, I think, takes us back to the difficulties that we're faced with in this situation, which is that, you know, we are maybe transitioning to a service economy, but is it a service economy that's going to pay the bills for the worker who has not got the college education or not? And so, you know, I think that a lot of the anxiety voters seem to be expressing have to do with those kinds of issues. You know, work needs to pay.
All right, back to the phone lines with Sam. Sam, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I was immediately taken to a talk I saw by Thomas Friedman called The World is Flat, where he told his daughters, do your homework, the world is hungry for your jobs. And I think American workers, not all, but a lot, feel entitled to do what your gentleman said about come out of high school, get a manufacturing job, and jump into the middle class. And that's not going to happen anymore.
Okay, Sam.
We have to do the retraining. That's what, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm in night grad school at UTSA, and it's an older crowd.
All right, sir. Thank you for your call. And Robert, you wanted to comment.
In terms of NAFTA being a done deal, certainly, but there's a next generation free trade agreement out there. It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership that's been proposed. Now the candidates have lined up against it for right now, but in fact it responds to some of the shortcomings of NAFTA in terms of the labor protections, in terms of intellectual property protections. There's a chapter for small business to be involved in this. First time in any free trade agreement in history to have a small business chapter. So there are ways to improve upon the last generation, which should be done even in terms of free trade.
There are a lot
agreements.
Of problems with this agreement, a lot of secrecy. Mm-hmm. And how can anyone be asked to get support or get behind an agreement that is carved out with such secrecy?
It's odd because the process is the same that's happened under Republican Democratic administrations. Every single free trade agreement, the negotiations happen with the free the free trade. Dr. Froman, Ambassador Froman, is our U.S. trade representative,
right.
And his team, they negotiate that out. Like any business deal, if you try and negotiate it in 1,000 facets, it will never get done. So you need one package that can be presented up or down. If it gets rejected, it gets tossed back to be renegotiated. So that's a political process that has been the same throughout recent history, and now it's being questioned.
But what I would say has changed is that, we've had a gradual and substantial decline in public trust in our government institutions. And I think part of that is that we have seen politicians running against Washington very hard for the last couple of generations now. And even though we probably have more integrity and less corruption in government than we ever have before, people don't feel that way. And so they look at these negotiations that occur in secret with a lot of skepticism, I think.
Let's go back to the phones with Joe. Hi, Joe. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that as far as from what I know, demonization of Mexicans and the Mexican government has been going on for about 170 years in this, be it in Texas or in the United States. It's been used to incite, to distract, to get people elected throughout the history of the United States, so at least for the last 170 years. So I just think it's just another phase that we're going through.
Okay, Joe, thank you for those comments. Let me get to the next caller because we've got a lot of them. John, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. And it hurts me when a lot of this conversation talks about NAFTA and just an economic bubble. And I think a lot of the anger about it is not only has the job gone to Mexico, but it's in a factory that does not have the same environmental standards as a factory in the United States. There's lots of human rights issues around the workers who are in those factories, not to mention the increase in drug and human trafficking from transnational criminal organizations that's able to use the free trade to get their goods in and out of the United States. So while it might brief great as just an economic issue, there's all sorts of other issues that are completely tied in to this 20-year free trade agreement and what it enables.
Okay, John, good points. And so, Robert, can you comment on that really quick?
Well, certainly there's more traffic back and forth. I was very impressed by the Homeland Security and the
what about the human
customs.
Rights?
Well, the human rights, again, I think we can strengthen that. Mexico's going through a legal reform because they're trying to get to a more effective legal system and overcome impunity. Basically, based on elbow rubbing with the United States and coming closer to our system. So we're strengthening the institutions in Mexico's ability to deal with their own human rights issues, and we have a big magnifying glass that's watching them. And so I think that effect is the biggest thing we can do. We can't run their country for them, but we can influence how they run their own country.
Okay, and Walt, let's bounce back to what Joe said about demonizing of Mexico real quickly as we got about 2 minutes left.
Well, we see especially conservative candidates have been running on anti-immigration platforms for a long time. And so this in some ways is nothing new. But the trade obviously is being seen as a part of it. And, you know, just going back to one thing that the caller mentioned there, I mean, on the environmental standards, I also think that this is a good point, that part of globalization has also got to be this global recognition of climate change and these major issues that need to be part of these agreements. You can't just have trade and forget about all the externalities. And so I think that that's another component of the concern or skepticism about new agreements like the TPP.
Right, but Mexico is a country that still has a lot of problems. I mean, just say, hey, you want to go with me across the border for a couple of days? And people will just, you know, they'll, no way, man. So, I mean, how can we act like this is a country that we're on equal footing with when, you know, people are afraid to just walk across the bridge?
Well, we can't, and it's in some ways unrealistic, but normatively that does not play well to say it's okay for people over there to deal with substandard labor conditions and so on. In many ways, I mean, trade and economics kind of have divorced themselves from these normative issues because they're sometimes kind of intractable, I think.
All right. I want to thank both our guests. Walt Wilson is Associate Professor of Political Science at UTSA. Robert McKinley is a Senior Vice President for Economic Development at UTSA, also a board member at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you all so much for joining us. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the Patton of the Pacific, how he won the war. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX.